Miscellaneous podcasting equipment wants to battle. Miscellaneous podcasting equipment chooses microphone. Go, Thomas Parry. I choose you.
Thomas Parry.
Tom Matt Attack. Wow, Pokemon, eh?
It's a bit of a mouthful, that. If I was a Pokemon, I probably wouldn't be called Thomas Parry.
Tom Ross! See, it works every time I call you Tom Ross.
Tom Ross!
Tom Ross!
Yeah. What would you be?
I'd just be Boily!
Boily!
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, couldn't really be anything else.
How you been, Matt?
Not too bad.
All right?
Yeah. Bit cramped in this Pokeball, though.
How was your week in gaming?
Very uneventful, I'm going to be honest straight off the bat.
Yeah?
Why was that? I haven't had time.
No. So life, you see.
Life, I know. It's a funny thing. I've been buying a lot of games, not playing a lot of games.
Oh, I know that feeling.
An awkward balance to uphold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not very eventful, to be honest. How about you, Thomas? What have you been up to?
In comparison, a lot. Playing and buying games.
Crikey.
I've probably been playing more games than usual.
That's interesting.
This past week, because I've discovered the Toys to Life genre. And I found it to be very accommodating to my gaming needs.
Yes.
Because it's a nice, straightforward experience for the most part. I'll get on to more later. But I do like Skylanders a lot. I've got the Skylanders bug. I don't know if I said this last week, but...
We've mentioned it for the last couple of weeks.
I keep playing it. And I really like Skylanders Giants. That's the one I'm playing through at the moment. And I have to say, I've been purchasing all the Skylanders. My Amazon basket was full of them this last week.
You put that in your basket?
I did.
Oh.
Going straight in my basket. That's the thing. The thing about that is a lot of the old Skylanders now on Amazon are rather cheap. And not only Amazon, game.co.uk, I've been getting older ones across the board. But a couple of quid you can get brand new Trap Team Skylanders for off game. And then, Giants, Trap Team, Swap Force... Yeah, I've got a whole assortment of them. I'm trying to kind of get a nice collection of different elements.
Yes.
Different elemental Skylanders.
Because Skylanders are the magic element are strong here. Yes.
Because I think that's what makes it more appealing to me overall compared to some of the other games. It's got that sort of Pokemon training up and leveling up a elemental type, and then it's leveling up,
yeah,
which is very cool. It's there in Disney Infinity as well. Sadly, it's not in Lego Dimensions, which for me isn't quite the same thing, is it really?
No,
as the other two. Well, don't buy it thinking it's going to be a Skylanders or Disney Infinity, as I kind of thought it might be.
Well, it's just the old Lego game formula. I kind of mentioned this in the podcast. For me, the draw of that game is the story. It is a Lego game.
That's the thing,
Toys to Life dimension
that keeps me playing the story.
Yes.
Otherwise, I have to say, I found the gameplay rather chaotic and confusing.
Getting old.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting old, but I don't know. Everything gets pretty small at place, and I forget what character I am. Juggling the three is quite confusing. Even when you're playing in two players, playing with our good friend Austin. And
TM.
Austin didn't want to do all the moving around, so I was doing the moving around. So that created an extra dimension of complexity to the whole shebang. Where are you going to move to? Who are you now? What's going on?
Yeah, shit, the red light is flashing. We need to get the things off the bottle.
I don't think those things are introduced very well because it's quite confusing. I mean, I guess if you play more, you kind of understand how to use the portal and how to place the characters in different colours.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I don't think they do necessarily that great a job of saying, like, hey, shit, this red flashing light is now means you need to move your character off the portal. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory to me anyway.
The thing is, if a character is already on a certain colour, you have to take him on and off again to activate it.
A pain in the ass, yeah. I agree.
I find it frustrating. And for me, I'd kind of gone off the Lego games a little bit. And it is another Lego game, so don't expect anything too different. But definitely the storyline, as you say, the way the crossovers work is pretty cool. I was disappointed, though, to find a horrible glitch.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was falling, we were all kind of free-falling, all the characters were, and Wildstyle character in the Batmobile got stuck in an endless loop of exploding, and I had to do a little bit of faffing around with a portal to fix it. And
you took her on and off again.
Well, I had to take the Batmobile. I'd take Lucy off first, and then the Batmobile off, and then place them back on again.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wildstyle Lucy. I just kind of jumped between the two terminologies.
Yes. Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. For Lego spoilers movie. For Lego Movie. Oh dear.
Ah.
But the dialogue's cool in the game, and I actually think the graphics are pretty good. I mean, some of the techniques I think in that Lego Dimensions are cool. There's a lot of blurring and foreground and background stuff, and it's maybe is just there's a little bit too much going on for my liking, and I kind of get lost, and I'm not a big fan of the Lego gameplay. So for me, that's not my favourite. Skylanders will be, but I'm spending a lot of time with Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk a little bit briefly about Disney Infinity and my experience with that game, because at the moment I'm playing through one of the playsets, the Rise of the Rebellion, is it? It's the one based around the original trilogy.
Yes.
Quite interesting from the start, because it messes with the Star Wars story just a little bit.
In yeah,
the
fact you said.
That all the rebels are together at the beginning. That's Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie when Darth Vader attacks their ship. And then you have to get the droid, send them down to Tatooine, and you follow them down there, meet back up with them, and you meet Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it's all a little bit confusing because you actually have the lightsaber as Luke before meeting Obi-Wan. And then Obi-Wan gives you the lightsaber as if you've never seen it before. But these are things that have just got to happen in the Star Wars story. And I know why it's giving you that freedom of play.
Yeah.
Why restrict Luke being able to use a lightsaber? Just let you do what you want.
Yeah. Well, I guess you kind of have to, right? Like, yeah. Luke Skywalker should have a lightsaber.
Yeah, even from the off. Yeah. You shouldn't have to wait. But you can. The good thing is you can play as any character you want, providing they're of the original trilogy at the very beginning, until you've unlocked the ability to play as other characters from other
You have to unlock
Star Wars
that?
Eras. Yeah, well, in the playset, at least, you have to collect coins in order to be able to use, say, Poe or Finn. You can't use them straight away. You have to find the coin.
Fuck that. Why? I've paid for them.
Well, you can use them in their appropriate playset, which is the only way you get them anyway, at least Finn and Rey.
Yeah, but I still I've paid for them. I want to use them.
I must say, actually, find the coins is incredibly easy, and you will do it just as you go
through
the game.
Still, I shouldn't have to do that, I don't think.
No, it doesn't bother me so much, as I've not felt the desire to play as any of the characters which aren't in the situation that you expect them to be. I don't know how Darth Vader works, to be honest, because the story follows the rebels. So Darth Vader wouldn't be helping the rebellion.
Yes, he would.
Anyway, so you end up in the first hub world of the game, that's Tatooine. And from there, for me, it turns very much into a classic 3D platformer like Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie, where there's loads of people around who give you tasks to do and they give you a star for completing the task. You try and do all the challenges on that area. Those areas are the most fun. And then to follow the Star Wars story, you have little set pieces, basically, which lead you into the next big area to explore.
Okay.
So you'll do infiltrate the Death Star, which is very linear, and there's not much to it, to be honest, apart from going there and killing some baddies and then getting to the Millennium Falcon again.
Yeah.
And then you do the trench run.
Okay.
Which, it's on rails. You can't really fail the trench run, but you can miss out on objectives, so there's some replayability there.
Okay.
And then you get into Hoth, which again is like Tatooine, big old hub world. I was talking to you earlier about this Tauntaun thing, and it reminded me very much of Mario 64, because the mother Tauntauns lost her baby Tauntauns, and you've got to go and collect them and save them. And it's just like Mario picks them up over his head and carries them back, and you throw them. It's quite funny throwing round people, because there's a bit where you have to collect rebel soldiers and move them around the base. The soldiers need to go over to this point. And I was Chewbacca, and you have to pick the soldier up and just throw him into the into the little vehicle.
But I guess they're those little like weird like me versions of
Disney characters,
right?
Yeah, sometimes they're little mini versions of baby Tauntauns. If they're small characters, then they will be little baby versions. Yeah. Like there's baby Wampas as well. things like that.
Okay, so you're picking up like full-sized rebel troopers then? Yeah. That's weird. I thought they would just be the little ones. Like,
it's quite fun just throwing... I was playing the other place at the base around the prequel, throwing people off the top of a building in Coruscant.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. There's a great freedom to Disney Infinity, which I think it's great to have that. It's probably the most free type of Toys to Life game there is in terms of options and what you can do in it. So... I really like Disney Infinity. It's got the whole leveling up aspect that Skylanders has got as well. You level up characters, you learn abilities, but there's not so much of the thing you can't get to a certain area because you don't have this character.
Yeah,
that doesn't really happen. Any character can pretty much do anything. So
okay,
it doesn't matter so much who you're playing as. It's just who you'd prefer to play as at that point. So you're not limited. For example, Chewbacca could do everything Luke could do. Apart from he's got fists, not lightsaber. Okay. He's got his own unique moves, but there's always the equivalent move for the other characters. But I play that game for hours, honestly.
Yeah.
I just kind of get lost in it. Oh, do one more task. Because it's easy. It's quite straightforward. I actually did turn off this morning, though, because I couldn't work out to use a tow cable properly. Because to progress the story, I've got to do the Battle of Hoth next.
Yeah.
And at one point, it does rely on you having to use a snow speeder. And there's two AT-ATs attacking. I think the only way to do it in time before they blow up the shield generator is to use a tow cable.
Okay.
And I found that a little bit confusing.
So. That's a shame.
That was the first time instance I'd found something tough in the game that I didn't quite understand.
Just a bit too fiddly, or was it just not explained?
I don't know
well?
Why, because you do a little tutorial before.
Yeah.
It's one of the...
a tutorial, if you would.
Yeah, one of the little side quests within the Hoth base is to learn how to do the tow cable thing.
Okay.
And I swear I was doing it, but I just wasn't able to take the AT-ATs down. Perhaps I was doing something wrong. But yeah, there we have. I want to say a little bit about Disney Infinity, especially because I think it's really good. But it's not as good as Skylanders.
Yeah.
Because I just think the whole concept appeals to me more as Skylanders. I like the collectible monsters. And there's so many of them, the Skylanders, isn't there?
Well, I was actually looking today. I mean, like... Skylander Mania is kind of toned down a bit now, I think, with Superchargers. I think this is maybe the third one now where they've kind of... I think after Trap Team was just like, oh my god, you got to buy all the traps and everything else. I think this year they tried to get a better balance of their assortment, maybe. Because from what I could count, there are 16 characters and they have 16 corresponding vehicles rather than previous years where you've had 32 characters.
Okay.
And I don't know, like... Not a lot of the character design in this particular game appeals to me.
Oh, really? I actually really like the character design
I like some of them in Superchargers, but I was looking at some of the Trap Team characters and going, man, I really need to get that Trap Team character and I really need to get this and that.
I've looked at all of them quite a lot recently because I've been deciding which ones I want to get. And I think there's definitely enough in every release of Skylanders that appeal to me to make it a viable thing to get the newest game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, there were a few previous ones, like in original Skylanders, when they put out 32 characters. And I was like, okay, well, I like this one, I like this one. And unfortunately, my nephew, who I was buying Skylanders for at the time, was just like, wow, I really like that one, I really like this one. And then I ended up getting, like, Trigger Happy. So I got Pop Fizz for Giants, and now I actually have Pop Fizz because I think it's a really cool cat. The concept of this whole Jekyll and Hyde thing.
I want that because you can get the kind of powered up Pop Fizz, can't you?
Yes,
I'd love
you can.
To get one of them.
It's interesting. Like,
there's a real collectability, isn't there?
There is. Yeah. And, like, you know, it's one of the first things you said to me earlier. I have two stealth elves because stealth elf seems to come with every starter set.
Yeah.
But I actually look at all the versions of Pop Fizz and I quite like the character design
you
and want to get all of them.
All the Pop Fizzes, yeah.
And it's just like, well, as you clearly pointed out earlier, because it's in the first, it's in the second game, I can use that same Pop Fizz across every game because that's fine. Like, even if I buy the new version for Superchargers,
you can still use
I can use it with Giants.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
a nice
you don't need them.
Thing, yeah.
But still want
you don't need them, but you want them because you like the figures, and that's testament to. The design, I guess, of the figures.
It definitely is. Yeah. And for this entire podcast, I apologise if it's actually picking up on mic. I have Stealth Elf's Stealth Stinger helicopter that I opened just before Tom came in. And I can't help but play with it. Like, I'm kind of annoyed a little bit by the vehicles because I was saying to you, Tom, off mic, I kind of prefer... Like, when Skylanders first came out, I was kind of like, oh man, I wish there was a little bit of articulation or something in them. And... they never had it, and they still don't to this day. But
at least they're sort of, with the Swap Force, you can kind of ping the bodies.
Yeah,
back.
At least you can kind of play around with them a little bit. But yeah. The superchargers, for those of you who don't know, they have the vehicles are like a Matchbox car or something. Yeah. They are much more playability to them. The cars have wheels you can ride around. This little submarine I've got has got a little
function where you
like
can
dial on the top, yeah, where I can turn the back fins,
yeah,
and the helicopter I have also has spinning blades like a helicopter, yeah, should.
There's a lot more playability.
There's a lot more playability, but then at the same time, I prefer it to be a cool display thing. But then again, how do you do a vehicle as a display thing? It's going to look a bit naff, so maybe it is the right approach. I just wish it had some kind of base.
I guess the vehicles in general for me don't appeal as much as having a figure.
No, true. That's, I mean, especially the when they cost more for the most part.
But at least you only really need one.
Of each. Of yeah, each. That's why.
Can any Skylander ride any vehicle?
Any Skylander can ride any vehicle. Yeah. You have to have the corresponding Skylander and vehicle combo to supercharge them.
Okay.
So the one in the box that I can't remember the name of because I never play as him.
Is a fire...
He's a fire demon-y thing. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. But he corresponds with the car you get, and so therefore your car is always supercharged. That's why I bought this thing for Stealth Elf, because I was like, well, I already have that one. I almost called it a Pokemon then. I have that Skylander.
So do you need Dive Clops to...
To supercharge that thing, yeah.
Yeah, so anyone can use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I had none of the ones that correspond.
So at the moment you can't use this submarine.
I can use it, I just can't supercharge it.
What does supercharging
it mean? Supercharges it, makes it more powerful and faster. Oh. And all that. It's a hook for the racing game, I think, is that you're supposed to buy the corresponding Skylander and it'll make it a bit easier.
Okay.
But I'm going to get the Mistletoe Ho-Ho Cyclops one.
Oh, you are?
Anyway, the Christmas one. So I was like, well, I'll get this. I had none of the other ones and none of them appealed to me anyway. I just like the colour scheme on that particular one.
Hmm.
Yeah,
paint job's not so good though.
No, mine's dirty
on the submarine, and I have the spring version of the submarine, which paint job is just atrocious.
Yeah, it's an Easter special one.
Yeah,
but this one's just like, I don't know, it's really dirty. But Skylanders seem to be already cheap again. I was in Germany and they were like €8 each. So
yeah, superchargers are going to go down
50-60 krona mark
soon.
They're also on three for buy three get one free.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't buy three. I actually got one for autism awareness. My cousin's son, Joe, actually has autism, and so I thought, well, this Paint It Blue campaign that they were doing... Or
I
Light
would
it
like
up blue,
to
sorry.
Know, though, how much goes to the charity.
A lot of it, from what I understand.
I hope it's not just like 5p or
no,
something.
No, 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 I believe it's a considerable amount. They weren't on discount either. It was still €12, which is why I bought it, because I was like, well, at least I know that money's going to the charity. So
that's something, isn't it? It just shows, you know, it's nice that they give something back.
Yeah,
at least
it's also
if it's only a little bit.
It's also a nice figure as well. So yeah, I got nice. Splat. The girl with the unicorn.
It's a proper industry,
things.
Skylanders.
It is, yeah.
Really is.
Yeah, but anyways, off of the Toys
to
Life talk.
We'll move off that.
We always talk about Toys to Life.
I mentioned it because that's the majority
of what you've been playing.
Of what I've been playing
this
last
week. To be honest, probably the only thing I've been playing this week is a little bit of Skylanders.
It's easy just to pick up and play.
It is.
It's not so demanding.
No, it isn't. It's a good experience as well, so... Mm-hmm.
We have been playing a Pokken tournament.
Yes, we did just now, hence the Pokemon introduction, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Parry, I choose you to talk about Pokemon tournament.
Okay, so I picked up a couple of weeks ago. Last weekend, actually, I played it for the first time after being pleasantly surprised by the demo, but a little bit apprehensive that there was any sort of depth to the combat.
Yeah.
There is depth to the combat. But it's quite evident from playing through the practice mode that this game has been rather well thought out. Unfortunately, when you start playing the single player mode, I found the difficulty level to be incredibly low to the point the game was actually boring me to play it.
Well, as I said to you like in the week, I think that's probably due to the fact that a lot of children are going to be buying this.
For sure.
And if you immediately throw them into like something that's just going to do like 52 hit combos on them, then they're not going to play it very long.
But I think the game comes into its own when you're playing against a human player, for sure. And, you know, both of me and Matt, no fighting games, we play plenty. So I think us two playing the multiplayer, we were able to kind of use the strategies within the game to get the most out of it. And I have to say, after a few fights today, I was actually starting to get it, and it's a rather enjoyable game. When I really enjoy playing multiplayer. I just hope that maybe the AIs gets more interesting. But I gather the single player is quite long.
It is.
So
yeah.
let's hope that, yeah, that gets more interesting.
It's interesting, right? Like, I mean, you look at that game, and I didn't know what to expect. Like, obviously, the thing of Bandai Namco making it and it being the people behind Soul Calibur, am mm-hmm. I mistaken in that? That it's the Soul Calibur team that I can't remember the name of?
I might be the... I don't know if the Soul Calibur team and the Tekken team are the same, but I did notice that in certain territories, this game is called Pokemon Tekken, and it says it on the disc.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pokemon Tekken.
Yeah.
So in areas of Europe, perhaps, that's what it's referred to as.
Interesting.
But I don't Pokemon know Tekken. Exactly what development
yeah,
team
maybe it is
it.
The Tekken team, then. Maybe I've got that confused. But I didn't know what to expect. Like, I'm not really a fan of 3D fighters, and this is one that shifts between a 3D and a 2D.
It's quite a unique mechanic, isn't it?
Yes.
You, at the start of the match, it's totally free to move around. And then you can do a move, which is called a phase shift move. Yeah. And then you'll switch into a more traditional 2D viewpoint.
Yeah, and then you do so more damage. Say.
You do
to
more
them
damage.
As a result.
And but then you can easily get that shifted back. So it's about this push and pull between the two phases in order to get the most damage. And of course, you have extra things like assist characters you can call up, and you can change your strategies by choosing certain sets of assist characters, which you call in with the L button.
You can also Mega Evolve as well.
Mega Evolve, which has an awful lot of damage, but you know you can dodge and block these moves.
You can indeed, yeah.
So you just have to keep on your toes there. But they are quite dominating once they
once they hit
there.
you're screwed. There's also a nice throw and counter mechanic as well to the game by pressing X and A.
That's right. And I think it could get very interesting when you've got the timing for the countering down.
Yeah.
That was apparent in the tutorial, and it was stressed quite heavily how important the countering is.
Yeah.
So that's where I think the real length of the matches could... Once you get that, because they are quite quick and fast.
Yeah, that's my concern though. It's like it's got all this depth.
But if you're countering and blocking a lot.
Yeah, but if I hit you with a Mega Evolution move, it takes half your health anyway, so it's not really that much to go
on.
So
it is a fast-paced fighting game.
Incredibly.
But it's fun. It really is. It's quite a spectacle, also on the Wii U, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks nice.
It's a little bit fuzzy in places, I think, when things get moving fast.
Well, like Charizard in general, like his neck texture and how he's moving in the animation looked a bit ropey. But
the spectacle of it when they're pulling off these moves is really quite appealing.
Yeah. I like it. I'll pick it up. If I see it cheap when I go to Hungary, I'll
And that's just it.
It.
It's full price at the moment, which is a lot to play for something that I think that's still... a multiplayer game, really.
Well, because of the Pokemon name attached to it, actually, it was quite surprised in Germany yesterday to see it around the €60 mark, which seems a bit high.
Mm.
I've seen it for like 400, 450 krona a year in Denmark.
I got it for the retail price of £40.
Yeah, which is all right. But I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of torn with buying it at the moment. I just picked up Nitro Plus Blasters, as we talked about on the podcast. I actually went out and bought that on Monday.
But as you know, it's a fighting game we both rather enjoy.
It's really good. Yeah. You can check out a video on blastprocess.com of us playing that and giving our thoughts on it. But I picked that up, and that was like 250 krona. It's like £25 compared to this. As I said to you when I was playing this, I was like, yeah, this is good. But I think I prefer playing Nitro Plus Blasters and a 3D, a 2D fighter as opposed to
it's
a 3D fighter.
It's more familiar to us to play a 2D fighter.
Perhaps, but I mean, you know, as 3D fighters go... This has piqued my interest more than most do. Like, I'm not really a fan of Soul Calibur. I like Dead or Alive and Tekken, but they are more traditional, like 2.5.
I'm really surprised you don't like Soul Calibur. If you like Dead or Alive...
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I think Soul Calibur is pretty much Dead or Alive with weapons.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something about Soul Calibur. It's never quite here with me. I don't know.
I love Soul Calibur.
I know you do, but you love all fighting games.
I'm surprised that new one hasn't been announced yet. But this game, it was a no-brainer for me. I like Pokemon. I like fighting games.
Yes. And it works.
I just bought it.
I'm glad that you're actually liking it now, because before you'd played it against me, you were pretty...
meh. I wasn't impressed. Not playing it multiplayer. I was like, I didn't get it. It wasn't until I fought against human opponent I could see that there was strategy and depth in this game.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest with you, like, we were playing as two fighting Pokemon. I played as Machamp, you played as that red foxy thing that everyone's making an issue of. He's got a crotch. I can't remember his name. But playing it, he looks like he's got a bump between his legs.
Has he?
Yes, he has. It's a thing on the internet that some American parent is complaining that it looks like he's got a penis. That thing you played as, that fighting Pokemon, the red and yellow.
Like the chicken?
Yeah, the chicken thing. It's apparently some American parent was complaining about a penis. It doesn't look like it's got a penis. It's just got a nondescript bump between its legs.
I've got a penis.
You have. Lots of people do. Around 50% of the world does. Fucking get over it. Anyways, when you were playing as him and I was playing as Machamp, it felt a lot more like a traditional fighter. And I think there was a lot more
grounded and
familiar
there. When you're using the more traditional two-legged Pokemon.
Yeah. I played as Chandelure, and that was actually pretty fun because I had like shooting moves rather than anything else.
I think I enjoy playing as Pikachu the most, funnily enough, even though my favourite character is Gengar.
I did like playing as Charizard.
We like this game. We give it a thumbs up.
It's all right, yeah.
Yeah, despite my first negative impressions of it.
Yeah. It's good. It's all right. So I've been doing some picking up rather than some buying.
Picking up?
Yeah, which has kind of led me to a startling realization I'll get to in a second. But I went down to Germany over the weekend before we recorded this podcast yesterday. And as I said, I picked up some Skylanders, which is nothing really to write home about because we've already talked for 20 minutes about Skylanders. But I actually got some other stuff. Usually when I go down to Germany, there's a good retro shop there, but because of the time we ended up getting down there, I didn't end up going there, which is a bit of a shame. So I didn't buy any Game Boy Color games like I usually would have. So I had a roam around just in the stores there, and I went to GameStop, and they had a lot of new old stock for the PS2 that they were just pricing as pre-owned because they'd found a box of stuff out the back. And I got a copy of Atlantis 3, which is an adventure game that you were looking at a couple of weeks ago.
I was concerned when I saw you bought that, because is it in German?
No, it's in English.
Oh,
it's fine.
Thank gosh. The cover was in German.
The cover is in German. The manual is in all languages. The game also says on the back.
I know this because of the older retro games when they're released in Germany don't always have language options.
No, they do not. No. My copy of Donkey Kong Country 2, as I said last week on the podcast, is actually in German.
My copy of Plock.
My copy of Starwing, I have a spare one, is also in German.
And even up to nowadays, my copy of Skylanders, which gave you for the Wii.
Yeah.
Is only in Scandinavian languages.
Yeah, weirdly. I don't get that one, to be honest, but hey. So I got that. I got a copy of some arcade action, 20 exciting games from the wonderful Phoenix Games Co. I got a copy of
Gary Barlow's Extreme Football.
Close. Echo Chrome.
For the PSP.
The perspective-based PSP puzzle game that was made quite a while ago now. But it's I've been told it is like Monument Valley, or rather Monument Valley takes some cues from Echo Chrome. And so I picked it up because of that. My girlfriend really likes Monument Valley. I said, hey, you should probably have a go at this. I'd say,
from my experience with Echo Chrome, it's even more cerebral.
Yes.
Definitely, the learning curve is steeper.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a whole €2.
I know, I say it's good,
copy,
though.
So
it is good.
I'll give it a bash.
Got it. And Echo Chrome 2 on PS3.
Yeah. And I also then got a copy of New Zealand Story Revolution. Taito did a range of Revolution titles in the mid-life of the DS, where they would take a classic game and try and like beef it up graphically. And I don't really know if it works. I only had a quick dabble on New Zealand Story, but it's because I've heard horror stories of how shit the copy of Bubble Bobble and Rainbow Island are.
Oh, really?
I've often been curious.
The Buster move on the DS is really good.
Yeah, but it's not part of the Revolution thing.
No, I don't think it is, no.
This is, like I said, trying to beef it up. But, I mean, you will know the Bubble Bobble because it's got the worst box art I've ever seen.
Revolution, yeah. I know, it's not so good.
It looks dire, but apparently the Bubble Bobble experience.
New Zealand Story is one of those games which one of those games you associate with the Amiga, I think, have been released on everything.
Yeah.
The same could be said about James Pond, Robocod.
Robocod, yeah.
They just released it for everything under the sun. Also,
I got it on PS2, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Impossible Mission as well is another game that's just, it's out there on PSP, PS2, Wii, and then all the old formats as well. So there's these, it's interesting. These games never die.
It is. But yeah, I'll give it a bash. I like New Zealand Story. I don't actually own a copy of it.
Despite having it for the Amiga.
I have it on... I had it on Amiga, I think. I thought I had it on Commodore, but I must have had it on Amiga. But I also had it on...
Commodore 64.
Yeah. I'm sure we... I can't remember if my cousin had it on NES or Master System. Because I know both exist.
Mm.
But I've played a home console version of it at some point in my life. I also know there's an arcade version of it, which is, I guess, the better of all of them, probably because it takes more use of the hardware, but still. But as I said, I went to Germany late, and that was the reason that I went to a weird thing they have here in Denmark called Lopper Forum. And this is essentially, it's a weird concept, because it's like a charity shop, but it's not a charity shop because you donate things to the charity shop and you get like a shelf that's dedicated to your stuff. So say you, Tom Parry, had a lot of stuff you wanted to sell.
I have my own shelf in a charity shop.
Yeah, you could go, hey, there's
like a market.
Here's a load of crap I want, but I can't be asked to go to a flea market. I will give you this shop, all of this stuff. I will price it up using the tags they give me. Then they will put it on sale for me. And either the proceeds get donated to a charity, or I get a percentage of what they earn on it.
Like putting it up for auction.
Almost, but there's there's a fixed price. So you go in, and every single shelving unit, they're about, I don't know, about 6 foot high by like a meter wide, these shelving units. But they just have all of the crap on them. And like, so as a result of this, you walk around and there's different stuff everywhere. There's not like a section for electronics.
No,
there is not
no,
a
I
section
see.
For records. It's just shit everywhere. So you have to spend some time to have a good rummage because depending on what stall you look at.
Yeah, that's not so.
They change.
I'm actually kind of like Dagfields.
Okay.
That's the place near where my parents live. And there's a big. It's. Room and there's all the different areas owned.
Yeah,
people put their stuff in. Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. Sorry, I didn't explain that very well.
That's okay.
But, I know similar.
But yeah, things. So as a result of this, I had to wander around this place and like they have new stuff in every day is the thing it says. And like even when we were there, they were taking some stuff off and they had like a last minute section by the door where you could just buy like if it was just a shelf's worth of stuff left, they were putting it on this thing to try and clear it. But then they also had a thing where they were then put in, like, reserved for such and such, like, numbers, so they could put all of this other stuff on.
Yeah.
And so like, I was having a look around there, and I found some interesting stuff. We got, like, an old Polaroid camera, a Polaroid Spirit 600, which I've been after for a long time, the classic Polaroid
that
the Instagram logo looks like. I got that for next to nothing. We were having a pot around. There's some really nice records there, but nothing you or I would really be interested in. I saw, like, Brothers in Arms, and so I was...
Dire Straits.
Yeah, trying to rummage through and trying to see if there's anything else of interest there, but there's a lot of people coming in and out. It was very busy, so I think a lot of things just go if there's anything good in there, and there's actually a point in time where I picked up one of those horses, you know, like a little wooden horse with little wooden wheels, like a Brio thing with a string, like a vintage one, and I was like, oh, shit, I wonder if that's an old Lego one. I picked it up. I said to Mara, oh, look at this. She goes, oh, that's nice. I put it back and I walked a few steps away and then someone had already taken it and bought it by the time. Like, so it was very cutthroat of like, shit, okay, I got to keep hold of this stuff because people are coming in and out very quickly.
Wow.
And so I got a few things, actually. I got a copy of FIFA Football 2002 for a start.
Why, Matthew?
I would never pick up a copy of FIFA, Tom, as you know me. Like, I'm very rarely... into football
but
games.
But you haven't got a football game for PS1.
I don't have a football game for
PS1.
There
we are. So I can understand that.
No, it was actually because I had not seen this particular variant of this online anywhere. FIFA 2002 is one of these weird things where FIFA had moved on to the other platforms, like there's a copy of FIFA for GameCube and PS2 and all this kind of stuff. It's one of the later ones. So to try and sell the PS1 version, EA did a really weird thing of putting particular football stars on the front of the game. Like in the UK, there was a version with Thierry Henry for Arsenal, Beckham for United, and Gerrard for Liverpool, for example. But then in the rest of the world, like in Denmark, for example, they put an FC Copenhagen player on the front.
Ah, who is this player?
I'm not actually too sure, but I just saw he was wearing an FC Copenhagen jersey. I turned it over and it said it had a Danish manual. I was like, okay, cool, I'll pick this up. It was
Danish
only like a
FIFA
quid.
FIFA variant.
So Danish FIFA variant, yeah. But I was just like, okay, that's pretty interesting. I also got a copy of a game called Ninja Captains, which is 20 minigames.
I've seen this game. Out and about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's terrible. Like, Nintendo Life gave it, like, 3 out of 10. But I'm sure there's some joy to be had from it for a good, bad game perspective.
Let's, please.
Yes, we can have a look. Look, you're even yawning thinking about it. But that was nothing. And then, interestingly enough, like, as I said, there were clear signs that the games in this store had been picked through. Like, there was, like, a half-empty shelf that just had some Wii games on it that obviously, like, people had bought whatever else was there. And so I was walking around and like there was nothing really of interest. Bought a money bank for a Danish bank that looks like an elephant as well. That was quite nice. And we were having a look at other stuff around there and I didn't really see anything. And then I was like, okay, I'll take a second walk around just in case. And I started looking under the nooks and crannies of stuff. And I spotted a DS Lite on a shelf.
Yeah.
Just with some tap next to it, but yeah. You would never have, unless obviously I know the shape of what a DS Lite looks like, all of the logos and stuff were covered by terrible stickers, and it's lime green, so I don't think unless you knew exactly what it was, you were going to go, oh my god, there's a DS Lite.
There's just an old kid's toy.
Yeah, it just looks like a kid's toy or a box for something. Yeah. There was nothing around it that shouted, oh, I'm video games. So I picked it up, and it looks like it's met with the floor at some point, which is a bit of a shame, because there's no battery cover on it. And the hinge is loose.
Oh.
But I can fix that quite easily.
You can fix the hinge?
Yeah, fix a hinge pretty easy. All it means is there's a crack in the plastic. I actually had to do it with Martha's version of the black DS Lite I got her. You unscrew the back. Essentially, you just apply a little bit of super glue to the hinge and you hold it together for a few seconds and it sticks. And then it has the click again. So it's a pretty easy fix. I got to get a new battery cover off.
So why exactly did you want another DS Lite?
Well, I've got a black one. I mean, it was like 50 kronas. So it was like a fiver with a copy of Mario Kart DS in it. Which is an unusual colour. Like, I've always kind of liked the lime green one. So I thought, well, I'll get it. And I mean, I collect Game Boys. I collect everything else in terms of Nintendo.
This isn't the start
handhelds.
Of something, is it?
I mean, there's only 9 variants of DS Lite anyway, so it's not really that bothersome. And I mean, I see them fucking everywhere. I've already got half of them. I've got a pink one, I've got a black one, I've got a white one, I've now got a lime green one.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm not going to go out.
What else can you get?
There's a light blue.
Oh, yes.
There is.
I do remember now.
A Mario red. One, there's a red one, there's a Zelda one, and there's another. Oh, the Pokemon one as well, with Pearl and Diamond.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You're actually going to buy one of those at one point in this country.
I thought that was a DSi, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think there's also a DS Lite. Anyways, maybe it is a DSi, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, with Pokemon Black and White, I think the DSi was
There's a Pearl and Diamond. Shit, yeah. I even forgot that. I just said it. There's one for that. I think it's just one, though. I think both legendary Pokemon are on either side of it.
Okay.
But yeah, it exists anyways.
So look forward to hearing more about your
I'm
going to
fix
hobby.
It up. I mean, like, I have a shitload of DS games. I've almost got 100 at this point. Like, I have a vast library of it, and I was just like, well...
Yeah. I guess
they're not expensive, and I mean, I've seen the ridiculous prices now people are paying for Game Boy Colors and Game Boy Lights, and I'm just like, well, if I can get these now when they're cheap, like, I'm probably going to eventually pick them up anyway.
Yeah, I have thought myself about, because I own every DS apart from the DSi and the DS original.
Yeah, you don't own a big chunky silver one.
Actually, no, I say I own nearly all of them apart from these. I only own the DS Lite.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Actually. But I have thought about, it'd be nice to have the original one, then have the DSi, then have the DS IXL.
Or, yeah.
Them like, nah.
Fair enough. I don't know. But anyway, as I said, in terms of collecting, this has brought me to a conclusion of this morning, trying to put some more PS2 games on my shelf.
Oh, yeah, you ran out of room.
So I ran out of room.
I know that one.
So until I am actually in a bigger apartment, or until I...
Can you resist it, though?
Can cull the thing, I'm not going to buy any more PS2 games.
I don't believe it.
It's going to happen.
If you see the right one, you'll buy it.
If I see the right one, I'll buy it, but I'm going to sell one that's on that shelf, because it is piss-takingly, like, I've got 40 games in a box under my desk at this point.
That happens. I haven't... Yeah.
I just don't want them, though. Like, it looks messy. Like, they are games I'm probably never going to play. There's good games in there. There's, like, fucking the Naruto games, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
It's in a box, though, because I don't really care that much about it.
You've not got any room from the shelf, really, have you?
No. Like, this apartment's pretty full. So, it's gone to that stage where I'm just like, okay, I need to be a bit more selective. To be honest with you, I'm even going so far as to say, okay, unless it's a current-gen title or maybe a Wii game, because there are still a few Wii games I want, like a Shadow's Tale, and if I see that, I'll buy it.
Mm. You've not been out there buying PS3 or Xbox 360 games for some time, though, have you?
No, I haven't. No. I mean, I stopped buying those a long time ago, purely on the grounds of, well, A, in a year or two, this stuff is going to be cheap and everywhere anyways.
Or it is.
But I've got fucking loads of them. Like, I've never played. Like, they're systems I don't really turn on anymore. And so as a result of this, I'm just kind of going out of my way to say, okay, pretty much for the foreseeable future, I'm only collecting handheld and maybe current-gen stuff as well. There's a few games coming out, like Ratchet & Clank, which is why I didn't buy Pokken.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm restricting myself to just handheld stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are consoles I still want out there that are handheld systems as well, like a Super Duck and a Watara Supervision. And I these are obscure handhelds that were made by Thin Chen, the people who put out those terrible 4-in-1 Satchin games on the Game Boy.
Uh-huh.
And there's some other stuff I want, like for Neo Geo Pocket and things. So I'm just like, well, okay, for the foreseeable future, like, unless I see some really nice Super Nintendo or NES stuff, I'm just going to stop buying things. Okay, I may even cull my Mega Drive collection.
You've said it now, on Tom and Matt Attack.
On air. Yes, there are people listening who will supply me with video games at some point, I'm sure. They'll be like, I thought you said you weren't collecting it, but no, for the foreseeable future, I've got way too many games. Spending too much time collecting, not enough time playing, and that's what it comes down to.
Matthew.
Yeah.
I have thought about the space situation myself, as I have a similar problem. And I have to say, a lot of those retro games are available on the Wii's Virtual Console.
Yeah.
And, like, just buy them.
Yeah.
You know, I was playing one I downloaded some time ago now, Alex Kidd Shinobi World.
Yes.
Great game. Actually, I'd really recommend that one for the Master System. And it's available on the Wii Virtual Console.
Yeah.
Also, games like the rare and expensive, like Musha.
Yeah.
I just buy that for next to nothing. I can buy a Mega Turrican for next to nothing. You know, and these versions of the games are, for all I know, practically identical to those cartridge-based
versions. Yeah, of course.
So I'm quite happy with that, and it also saves me a bit of space.
Yeah. It's kind of the path I'm on.
I've selected certain games of that ilk, which I thought, well, I'll just download them on the Wii, have them there.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Like, I've always really cherry-picked NES and Super Nintendo anyway. Like, it's never been a system I've been like, I must buy every game
I'm
for
exactly
this.
I'm exactly the same. I have a very small Super Nintendo collection. I think you have more than me. What's the other one you mentioned?
NES. But I mean, NES, like, let's be honest.
Reasonably
like
small NES collection.
My NES and Super NES collection I've had since I was a child. That's the only reason the size they are.
That's kind of nice in a way, isn't it? You can look back and it's got that nostalgia because just a few games that you played as a kid. And it means more to me. I don't know that. I've got quite a small Master System physical collection. And I kind of like it that way. I kind of look at it and just remember that time.
Yeah.
Without being kind of dwarfed by all these other games.
I just don't want shit games.
No. Like, no, who does?
Admittedly, I collect Phoenix games, but that's more out of morbid curiosity than anything else. That is like, I know this game is absolutely fucking terrible. I just want to see how bad it is. So, like, that is fine, but again, I'm paying nothing for those. Mm. Like, for that enjoyment.
You want to have a games library to be proud of.
Yeah, and I mean, for the most part, I do. It's just becoming a mess. And I would rather avoid that.
Just buy anything.
Because
yeah,
I'm just being like, oh, wow, that's next to nothing. That PS2 game's like 20 pence. Go on, I'll have that. Yeah. And then it just sits on a shelf and I never play it anyway because I've got no appreciation for it. Whereas I buy a Game Boy game, I buy a Super Nintendo game, or even like a PS4 game, I buy it and I play it at least.
Yeah.
Like I'm much looking forward to getting a Framemeister at the end of the month because I put it off for a month because I bought something else instead. And I can't wait to fucking sit down and play Parodius. My girlfriend bought me Parodius in Hungary, like I said, a couple of weeks ago. I cannot wait to sit down and play that on Super Nintendo. But like for the most part now, it's just kind of like, okay, I got a Saturn. There may be Saturn games I buy further down the line. Not in any rush, though. Like, I have the system. I don't really care. There's a lot of Mega Drive games I got on that shelf that are just taking up space. And there's even a few doubles I had there. I got two copies of The Lion King and two copies of Mega Games.
Yeah, sort it out, Matthew. Sort it out.
Yeah, I got like three fucking copies of Donkey Kong Country at this moment in time.
Oh, the first one. No one needs that.
No, exactly. I mean, it's a good game. Yeah, really. No one needs three copies, though. Yeah, I need to sort out, I think. Yeah. I need to get rid of some stuff. Needs to be done.
Needs to be done. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. Help me through this trying time, Tom Parry. What have you been buying?
I'll try and do it reasonably quickly. Hotline Miami 2 was on sale.
Yeah.
Downloaded that recently for a fiver. Mutant Muds got released on Wii U in the last week or so, last couple of weeks, so I picked that up. I downloaded the trial, so I got a slight discount on
that. That's been out in the States for a long time.
Yeah, it has. If you own the DS equivalent, you actually get the game for free, I think.
Really?
Because I've got the original Mutant Muds and not the newest version of Mutant Muds. I didn't get it for free.
That's a shame.
I bought Sonic Advance for the Game Boy Advance. I briefly mentioned to Matthew. See, I go through these phases of collecting certain things. If you've listened to this podcast before, you'll know I've been collecting Lemmings and Worms games. And another one of my favourite series is the Sonic
Toys
the Hedgehog.
Toys to Life series. Characters.
Oh, there's that. There's that. But the Sonic the Hedgehog series of games is, you know, I've liked Sonic from when I was a kid. And that's stayed with me.
You like Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, that stayed with me all through
my life.
Well,
that's why you bought all of copies of Sonic the Comic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't own the original release of Sonic Advance. I actually owned a double pack, still do, of that and Choo Choo Rocket.
Yeah.
I thought it would be nice to have the proper original boxed version of Sonic Advance to add to my collection. So I bought that. I also picked up Sonic Battle and Sonic Pinball. So I wasn't so bothered about this being a double pack because it's not part of the main Sonic series. And I've been really eager to play both these games for quite some time. It was only 50 kroner, £5.
It's all right.
I thought I'd have to get that. Then I realised I don't have my Game Boy Advance here. I must have taken them both back to the UK. I remember at one point I had two SPs in Denmark.
Yeah.
And now I can't find either.
How the fuck do you manage that?
I don't know. I think I took at least one back. I know that. I took my my tribal one was in the UK.
Yeah.
But wherever my 101 Game Boy Advance is, I don't know.
Okay. How do you manage that?
I don't know. I have to have another look for it. I couldn't find it anywhere.
It must be in
your
apartment, man. Like.
Must be. Mario and Sonic Olympic games on the DS, so we got for relatively cheap. Drive for Parallel Lines, special edition of PS2 in the tin box with a soundtrack.
Yeah, boy. Did you have it in the end?
Yes, I've got Parallel Lines for the Wii.
Oh, okay.
And I actually picked up reasonably recently. I actually talked about it in one of my pickup videos over at Blast Process.
You just didn't have it on the PS2.
No, and the cover's different, though, on the Wii. That's what confused me. Yeah, so I have it on PS2. It was very cheap, so...
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest purchases last week has been all of the 3DS Skylander games.
What?
In one lot on eBay.
All of them?
All of them. And I'd say it was a lot of Skylanders with it as well.
Okay.
£50.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's £10 a shot. There's five games.
So you bought like all of them? Like,
all of them together.
Wow. Have you got a picture of that lot? I'd like to see it.
I can show it to you later, yeah.
Wow, okay.
All of them, yeah. And that would make them £10 each, but then you don't count how many gallons you get with this, which was quite a few.
Yeah.
I was quite happy.
Well, I mean, like, even if you've got no extra ones, that's at least, like, 30 Skyline. No, it's not. It's 15.
You didn't get the actual Skylines that came with the packs originally.
Oh, right, okay.
It was just a selection of Skylanders I guess the seller didn't want anymore. They'd kept certain ones that I know came with those.
Yeah.
But they put up other ones. All the original Skylanders that came with the original game were included in the bundle.
Yeah.
And then there's a few more. The Superchargers ones, the ones that you've got. That fire ghosty type thing. And the car was in there too.
I think he came with the 3DS version though, right?
He might do. He comes with the PS4. He doesn't come with the Wii U version as the one I've got.
No, because there you get Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
So. And with the Wii one, you get Bowser.
Yeah. So I was actually really happy with that pickup.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely value for money. It came with two portals.
Okay.
As well. I don't know Great. Why I'd need two portals, but apparently with Superchargers, at least, you don't have to... Once you scan it through the portal, you never have to do it again.
I think that's the same with all the 3DS ones.
Might be, yeah. And they're actually different games, the 3DS games.
Yes, they are.
So they're more platform-centric, I hear.
That's what I hear too.
Yeah. So that has been my pickups.
You also got a Wavebird controller.
Oh, yes. I've got to mention... Oh, sorry. Yes, well, I might have wanted a Wavebird for a while. I wasn't going to turn it down at 15 quid, was I?
No, you weren't, you bastard.
It works perfectly. What is a dream?
I'm going in there to buy a GameCube controller, Tom.
And then I happened to see...
And then you went, ooh, Wavebird.
I'll have that.
Bought it, bastard.
Yeah.
Sorry. Bastard.
Don't hold it against me.
Oh, I will. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Other than that, that's pretty much the end of the podcast.
No, it can't be, Matthew. I've still got stuff to talk about.
What?
Yeah. What Tron Run's great. Downloaded that a couple of weeks ago. Really enjoying it.
You talked about it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Trackmania Turbo, bought that.
That you didn't talk about.
Really great.
Yeah.
I like Trackmania.
It's a Trackmania game. It's another one.
It's another one. It's really good, though. Graphics, better than the series has ever seen. Also, there's more of an emphasis on drifting on certain tracks, which is cool. I love the whole global leaderboards that are kind of cut down into subsections like northwest of England.
Okay.
Gareth, I think, is like number two in the northwest of England on certain tracks.
Okay, interesting.
So it's cool to have that incentive and have that kind of status.
Status,
yes.
Yeah. Are you on Denmark or are you north of...
I'm northwest England.
Ah, okay.
That's where I decided to choose, where I call home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've played the Doom beta, which we must talk about at least very briefly.
Yeah.
I didn't actually play through an entire match because I decided it wasn't really my thing.
Okay.
And I kind of was like getting destroyed and I was like, I've played this before. This is just like Quake 3 Arena. I can see, as I said to you, Matt, why this is relevant now because there isn't a game that's easily playable like Quake 3 Arena or Unreal or whatever at the moment. So Doom 3 is definitely going to fill that gap in the market.
I'll be interested in the story rather than the
multiplayer. But the multiplayer definitely plays like a very, very classic arena-based shooter.
Cool.
ID shooter.
As long as that happens in the actual game and it's not like 80 minutes of cutscenes between me shooting three monsters, then it's fine.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I just felt like I've played this before. There's no point in me getting this game because I can have the same experience.
I'm sure it'll go cheap very fast, and the last time I played a Doom game was on the Super Nintendo, so I'm just like, yeah, cool. I'm ready for another Doom.
But I say...
I played three and I didn't like it.
This is different, and this is going back to
the roots.
The roots, I guess. And there will be, I'm sure, a community for playing this now. So,
yeah,
if you're into those sort of classic first-person shooters, then this should be up your alley. Yeah, unfortunately, I'd rather just stick to playing Destiny.
Fair enough.
Which I have been doing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there's some new stuff for Destiny, but it doesn't really affect me because I'm still only level 20.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
And I've been playing Pokemon, because I like Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
New releases coming up soon. You play Dark Souls 3? That's out, isn't it?
Nope.
You play Quantum Break? That's out.
Nope. No interest.
It does look interesting.
Yeah, but I've heard it shit.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, like, it's just, like, the aspect of it I really was interested in was the whole, like, TV series between
that's why I say that. I think we said interesting a lot on this podcast today, but
so
yes.
Well, I fear that isn't very good. I fear that's like even worse than like a sci-fi channel TV show.
Oh, really?
So I'm just like, nah, fuck that.
But the novel aspect is that sort of interactivity.
Yeah, and I view it as not very good.
Okay, well, maybe Ratchet and Clank's going to fare better. That got, yep. Is it? No, it's not released yet.
20th. I'm still waiting for it to come out. I'm going to play that. Interesting. It seems to be self-aware that it is a remake of a game of a movie that then got made into another game. So,
of course, Star Fox. That one, I think, 22nd, is it?
Yeah, I've already pre-ordered that. We talked about it on the podcast. Very it's going on wheels, though, unfortunately. That. So,
there was a new Dirt game released.
Dirty. Yeah.
Dirt Rally?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how well that's been received, but I'm a fan of rally games. I'll be interested, but I haven't played enough of the last rally game I bought.
Also, Codemasters hired a lot of people from Evolution, the people who made Drive Club.
Yeah, and they worked on that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, no, I mean, they've hired them in the last week.
Oh, well, right, so they didn't work on that one. But maybe Dirt Rally 2, because now they've got a whole new franchise. By calling it Dirt Rally, they can start again from scratch.
But they've done rally games in the past, Evolution, from what I understand. I mean, they also did MotorStorm games and stuff, but they did rally games before they worked with Sony, supposedly.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Lost Reavers demo is available right at this moment. It's a kind of a team-based action game for the Wii U.
Okay.
With like invading like Indiana Jones, like
pyramids thing.
And working together
isn't
as
it
a
by
team.
Like Namco or someone? It's by a Japanese studio.
Yeah, it's Japanese. Yeah.
I can't remember who made
it. It intrigued me, but I don't have the space at the moment on my Wii U to try it. But
I might give it a go.
It's available for a good few more days. Yeah, I think to the 26th or something.
It's free to play though, right? Like
it's free to play. Yeah. This.
No, but I mean, in general, I think
in
it's
general,
free to play.
Is it okay? Yeah. Well, it's not going to be available as from a certain date until it actually gets properly released. This is like a tester, like a beta.
Okay.
A bit. And that's all I've got to say, Matthew. I just had to get in there because I know we've talked for a long time about some certain subjects, and my list was quite long this week.
Skylanders.
Things.
Yes. So. Okay. Cool. Brings us to the end of the podcast.
Does it?
It does, yeah. Well, first of all...
I want to keep talking to you, Matthew.
No, I don't want to talk to you, Parry.
Oh.
No. Well, Parry.
I guess that's the end of the podcast.
Well, Parry, come back.
Return.
Yeah, Parry, return.
You've done a good
great
job.
Great job.
Yeah. Now you deserve a rest.
Yeah. Cup of tea. I choose you. Oh, the enemy's weak. Get him a cup of tea. Anyways.
What happened with our website recently?
Yeah, that's what I was about to talk about. Apologies to anyone who tried to listen to last week's podcast last week and was just like, where the fuck is the podcast? Where the fuck are all of the podcasts? I changed credit cards at some point last year because mine had a big crack down the middle. Take it that
from
what
you will.
You
changed your number.
So the number changed. And so the number on our podcast renewal was completely different. And so our podcast didn't renew, or at least our hosting didn't. But it's all right, we're back now, as is evident by you listening to this.
And we cleaned up that little duplication error.
Yes, and we
about.
Had a weird duplication
error. Thank you, I think
error.
It was Jan who yeah, it was Jan told us about
who
that.
Said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a weird error for some reason where the podcast, even though it was named correctly, duplicated, so I deleted it, reposted it, and it fixed it. I guess it was something to do
if
with
you
the
have any issues, just let us know.
Exactly. We are readily available at a variety of places, including Twitter at TMAcast. You can find us.
Well, sorry, I just said any issues. Don't any just, issues. You got nothing about anything. Oh, yeah. My washing machine's broken.
Hey, if you want to ask us to fix your washing machine, go for it. Like I say, contact us with any issue you have. We will bring them up on the show. And we
as long
will talk
as they're not
about
too
it.
Personal.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we can give anonymous advice. You could be like love doctors. I don't know. If you have any stirring problems, be they anonymous or otherwise, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. You can also find this podcast in a variety of places, depending on our hosting being up, including blastprocess.com, where you can watch some videos of me and Tom playing good bad games, as well as one on Nitro Plus Blasters. You can find... So other things in other places.
Other things. Okay,
yeah, sorry, I got a text message and I thought it said Skylanders, but it said Skype, but I got excited for a second. you can find us on iTunes, iTunes.com, and iTunes.
You can find the iTunes, app. iTunes.com. iTunes.com. That must exist.
It must exist. No, I think you can look at us on the web and then it'll take you to the app. While you're there, give us a cheeky rate and subscribe and say, yeah, I love how they go off on random tangents at the end of the podcast. You can also rate the podcast on its own merits. Please don't do that. It'll probably be crap. But if it was, we'll improve it for you. You can also find us on tomandmattattack.com/podcast and a variety of other places such as YouTube. Okay, cool. That's everything. Look out for us on iTunes.com.
That podcast is fit to burst, isn't it?
It is. It is ram full of content for free that we give to you people every week. Speaking of which, there won't be a podcast next week because I'm not you. So there shan't be one next week. Yeah.
And what's the week after?
The week after is crazy Danish holiday, but I'm here. I don't know if you are. If not, we'll try and squeeze one in between because I'll be here to edit it. It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know on the old Twitters. But there definitely won't be one next week. There'll probably be one the week after. Who knows? Okay, cool. That's goodbye from me and goodbye from him. Until next time, dear listener.
Yeah, thank you and game on.